This week on Core Talk.
We're a team. We pretty much have everything that every other organization has, and they don't realize that it takes a lot more than that to kind of make this all work here at Norfolk District.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We're a team of professionals, biologists, engineers, real estate and administrative specialists, lawyers, and many other specialties, all working together to deliver engineering solutions that are vital to securing our nation, energizing our economy, and reducing disaster risks.
Safely,
on time,
and within budget.
This is Core Talk, the USAFE's Norfolk District podcast. From harbor port deepening and coastal storm risk management to environmental restoration and research and development, we exist to serve our community because we are a part of it.
SAONS.
SAONS.
SAONS. Let us try.
Hello, everyone. It's your hosts, Major Tony Funkhauser and James Walker again, bringing you a new and slightly different episode of Core Talk. In this episode, we're going to be discussing recruitment. Essentially, why should someone want to work for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and specifically in Norfolk, Virginia? Today, our guests have very different backgrounds. They wear various hats, but the one thing that they have in common is that drive to satisfy the organization's recruitment needs while helping engineers or soon-to-be professionals in the fields of science, technology, engineering, or mathematics to establish a professional foothold before graduation. That being said, let's have everyone introduce themselves.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sharika Wanamaker. I'm the workforce coordinator here at the district.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tom Booth. I'm the deputy chief for engineering construction here at Norfolk District.
So I know we focus a lot of positions on STEM and our engineers, but we have a lot of other positions that we have in the organization, just like yourself, Sharika, to help make the organization run. So if you could dive into the first topic, what positions and specialties in the Corps have routinely and consistently aiming to bring on board? And then can you provide an overview of the district as a whole and how these positions work together to fulfill the mission?
So, yeah, I think a lot of times people focus on engineers. You know, it's the first thing that they capture. And then the second part is, you know, Army. And so what we don't realize is that we're a team. And so one of our number one professions that we're looking to fill here is contracting. You know, everything that we do with all the partnerships and going into projects, we have to have contractors that help us to complete those missions. We also have resource management. We have real estate folks here and a pretty robust legal department. And so you're looking at having lawyers here, and we have accountants, and we have folks like myself that work in workforce and management analysts and human resources. And so we pretty much have everything that every other organization has. I think it's just the Army and engineers just kind of jumps out at them at first, and they don't realize that it takes a lot more than that to kind of make this all work here at Norfolk District.
So that being said, and Tom, I'll direct this question to you. Are there any particular skill levels, backgrounds, or special interests or criteria that those thinking about applying should possess before applying, or something that they should consider gaining experience in?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do tend to focus on the engineering component by virtue of what my responsibilities entail on the engineering construction side. But we generally look for all disciplines of engineers and architects to support our mission. They generally need to have an ABET accredited degree in engineering or architecture and have skills in modeling, design, or even construction interests. I would like to point out, too, one of the things we hear quite a bit in recruiting fairs is that individuals are surprised to hear they don't have to be in the Army to join the Corps of Engineers. We do have some green suitors in our midst, mostly in the leadership positions, but the large majority of our organizations are civilians, right, just like I am. So I'd like to point that out. And so we're always looking for motivated junior engineers and architects and experienced journeymen to join our ranks, and those that have a drive or a desire to join an organization with a mission, a higher mission.
Me here, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and it sounds quite military, so I could see how people could have that misunderstanding.
Yeah, no, 100%. I know we do focus a lot on the diversity piece, too. I know, if Sharika, if you wanted to kind of discuss that from the HR realm that we do just kind of focus on.
Yeah, so Just to add a little bit to what Tom was saying, so there are some soft skills that we're looking for too. When it comes to working here, you're obviously going to be someone that's very organized. We've got, you know, project management skills that we're working for folks to have. I also try to focus, especially when, you know, recruiting at these fairs that I go to, looking at folks that care about our mission. That's, you know, you've got a mission where we're trying to help flood management. You know, that's kind of impacting the world right now. And so when folks come and they kind of light up when you see them talk about helping their community with the projects that they do, you want those folks that are going to invest in Norfolk District. And so obviously it takes a diverse workforce to do that. And so, yeah, we go to the historically black colleges and universities, HBCUs. We're lucky to have three or four of them just in the area alone. We're 1.7 miles away from Norfolk University. We're 20, 30 minutes from Hampton University. We're an hour and a half from Virginia State University, and the number one engineering program among HBCUs, North Carolina A&T, is about 3-4 hours away. And so we're pretty lucky to have those universities here to do that. And then we also participate in some federal agencies and organizations that have diversity programs. So you're looking at going to the Black Engineer of the Year conference coming up in the next 2 weeks. There's LULAC, which focuses on Asian Pacific Islanders, American Indian. There's so many different organizations that we try to pull from. And what we found, especially in like my field with workforce, is that when you bring a diverse workforce in, you actually have more ideas. And that idea can kind of drive probably the projects that we're doing here, because some folks may see it all the same, but then when you have all those different ideas coming together, you may actually have a better solution. And so that's what we're trying to get to here, you know? And so I try to drive home that we are helping the future.
We've been hinting around a little bit, but I know, like, there are a lot of great things to do here at the district, even in the Corps of Engineers. So really, I just want to kind of ask you guys a question. There are districts everywhere, right, across the United States, even in Europe and Oconus. So why does why are we so much more advantageous, for someone that's in California, where they got, you know, potentially San Francisco or one of the other districts that are closer by? Why is it so advantageous for a biologist or an engineer or a project manager, wherever they're at, to come here to the Norfolk District?
I mean, okay, so you're comparing us to California. Like, what do I say? I was going to start with saying, like, the water, but, I mean, whoa, how do I compare with that? But in all actuality, yeah, the water. I mean, I'm an East Coast girl, and so, yeah, I think that we kind of have a mix of everything, and it's a little bit closer to get to it. And so I've been over to California, and, yeah, it's great, but you got to drive 6 hours to get to L.A., but, you know, oh, by the way, it's probably going to take 12 hours with traffic. And so, I mean, honestly, we own our building. We're right here on the water. We've got all these great parks. There's so many different things. We're starting to kind of in like Norfolk, Virginia, we're revitalizing that whole area. And so you've got like kind of that old townish feel in Ghent. You've got the downtown Norfolk area. Then there's Virginia Beach that's kind of doing, you know, like the surfer kind of, you know, maybe the California vibe a little bit when you kind of go down there. And even you've got Norfolk Beach just kind of doing something similar. And then I just love how close we are to other things like Williamsburg, D.C., New York City, and you know, and I'll admit it, I'm a Brooklyn girl. So, yeah, I like the idea that I can just drive 6 hours and I'm not still in the same state. Let's throw that there. But, you know, we can also visit the South as well. And so Virginia is a very, it's a mixed bag. And so I think it's probably important to notice that you're coming here. It's not the country, as everyone likes to think it is, but you have some of everything, and you probably can't get bored as easily. You're going to have to try to get bored here.
The only thing I would say extra is the weather's great. I grew up in Florida where it's hot 10 months of the year. Here we've got great four seasons, and that's conducive to being in outdoors, getting into winter sports, summer sports. All the different seasons here are awesome.
So I have a question, and I'm going to direct this question towards you, Tom, first. What challenging experiences or competence building opportunities do professionals encounter when working at the Corps here in Norfolk District? especially in roles that relate to dredging and environmental regulation. How can these things help benefit the career of somebody who is just starting off as an engineer?
Yeah, great question. I'll say generally the challenges are, even though they're unique to the Hampton Roads area or the areas that we're focusing on, they're similar everywhere else, especially in coastal regions. And one of the benefits of working for the Corps of Engineers is that we can leverage that in entire enterprise, right? Mm-hmm. So we collaborate with a lot of our partner districts that are in similar situations. We set up mentor relationships with some of our junior engineers and architects to work with other local districts so they can gain that experience. You know, for example, the hurricane recovery that was in Katrina several years ago, we're benefiting from that now as we work through some of our Norfolk CSRM programs. We're also assisting, as you know, Jacksonville District in the Florida area and New York in the New York area as well. So there's a lot of opportunities for engineers and architects to collaborate with other senior architects and engineers outside of our district to gain those experiences and set them up for future opportunities as they move through their career path.
Given the historical focus on flood control, navigation, and national defense, has the Corps evolved its recruiting strategies over time to align with the current needs and priorities?
Yeah, I would say there's twofold. One of the most important things that we've been provided here recently is a direct hire authority. So where in the past we've had to traditionally go through USA Jobs and do those announcements and seek out candidates that way, now we have a direct path to bring on qualified individuals that are able to help us with our mission. Okay. And we can go out and recruit them. Folks are able to reach out to us direct and ask about opportunities. And if we have something, we can talk and bring them directly on, or even potentially redirect them to another sister district that might have an opportunity that's more well-suited for them. So DHA has been great for us. We've brought on a lot of talent directly using that authority. I also say that we've evolved the disciplines that we're looking for. So in the past, where we've made, in Norfolk District specifically, where we've really focused on military construction over the past several years with many of the BRACs, the base realignments, now we're transitioning our program to very heavy civil works. So where we're looking for maybe a little bit lesser of the architects and the vertical disciplines like structural and MEP, we're looking more now for civil hydraulics engineers with a coastal focus and disciplines like that, which a lot of folks seem to be interested in now. So we're targeting those type of disciplines that are supporting the program that we have at hand currently.
So for an engineer who's currently in university who has dreamt for the last 4 or 5 years of their study to really exercise, you know, the architectural aspect of being an engineer, should they let the current recruiting priorities deter them from applying?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, even though the civil works mission is primarily horizontal, there is still a lot of components of the structural architecture disciplines that we bring into that. It's just much more heavily civil and horizontal focused. So there's lots of opportunities, and that doesn't mean that military construction is going away, right? So we do have that vertical program requirement still that we're still looking to recruit and build the bench for the future of our organization.
Let me jump in there real quick. So a couple of things when we talk about like hurricane and beach erosion projects and protection and stuff like that, it's important to notice that we have, or to mention that we have an emergency management section here. Mm-hmm. And so when I've went to a lot of these recent recruitment fairs, they are in love with that idea. They're in love with the idea that they are able to come here, be an engineer, and then something happens across the country or across the world, and that, and not at first, of course, you want them to get to know their job, but at some point they can join the CAT team, the crisis action team, and then jump in there and help people. And so that's some of the mission that I drive there, because recruitment also is about understanding your competitor. So we are competing against private sector. And so how do we take someone that can go to private sector and maybe make a little bit more money? And so we have to kind of sell those type of things. Well, can you do this over there? And then as far as looking at the historical focus and flood control and everything there, what we're doing this past year to align that is, and I love that we focus on that, there's 5 generations that currently work and are in the workforce right now. And so understanding the different generations that we're trying to bring in is important. And then when going to these recruitment fairs, this younger generation, they're like, into social justice and social reform and environmental concerns mean something. And so when going there and talking about flooding in Norfolk, they understand that. They understand that something has to be done to combat flooding. They understand that not only at the Corps of Engineers are they going to be doing engineering projects, but there's an opportunity to look at oyster restoration and how it filters the water in the harbor and starts to build back the environment around it. And so that's kind of how I'm selling them on that stuff, is that flooding is happening all over. What are we doing about it? Well, come over here and let's work on that. And oh, by the way, you can help filter, you know, the water with the oyster restoration, or you can do all these different things, or you can join the emergency management team, who is always recruiting for people. So if I had to add anything to those two questions.
That was good. And I know you you highlighted the private sector being our main competition. And I know that's, you know, Richard Klein talked about that as well when we were interviewing him last time in the podcast. But you'll see, like, I think we're okay if younger generation wants to go into the private sector first and then come to USACE. Like, we're also looking at those opportunities. I know that the journeymen are a big focus for us right now. I don't know if you want to address a little bit, Tom, but I think understanding, like, we're not just looking for folks coming right out of college. We're looking for folks at any point of life, as long as they fit the team and they got the skill sets. That's what we want to bring on to the organization, because we know that they're going to make us better. I know that's kind of a focus area that we've been looking at recently.
So those coming from private sector bring a lot of experience that'll benefit our program as well. But what they also find that is that while the pay may be not quite what they see in private sector, the work-life balance, the benefits that we offer quickly offset that. Right, and we find that they're very happy when they come on board. And the mission that we have, right, we touched on that earlier. No matter the program, you're impacting the community, the service members, or their families. So the mission that we have kind of gives folks a calling and a little bit more job accomplishment satisfaction, if you will.
That makes a lot of sense. Actually, the first person that comes to my mind when I think about somebody who transitioned from the civilian sector, or from the commercial sector, rather, is Drew Gebler. And he was on our first episode, remember? And yeah, you can tell in the passion in his voice that he really does enjoy being here. I have another question, because you mentioned that the issues and the problem solving that's going on here at USACE Norfolk District, these problems are similar to problems in other regions as well. But is there anything that Norfolk District is leading the way on in such a way that experience could only get, not that it could only be acquired here or obtained here, but it would be obtained here in a very special way, in a very particular way?
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of a couple of different examples, one of which is our DoDEA program. That's the DoD Education Activity. So we have the design center, and we run all of the designs for replacing their schools, K-12 schools that our service members' kids go to. You don't often think about the government leading innovation, but this is one case where we did. So we developed the new education layout for their schools based on the kind of current education paradigm for student-focused education versus teacher-focused education that we saw many decades ago. And after we developed that, other private, public sector, state and local agencies that run their schools followed suit. And then on the civil work side, too, we're looking at natural nature-based features that have never been used before for our local Norfolk project, as well as some of the projects we're involved with in Florida and soon to be in Virginia Beach and Portsmouth as well. So individuals working here have opportunities to develop new solutions that have never been used elsewhere and then bring that experience potentially to other organizations throughout the country and the world in the progress through their career path.
Sharika, could you share some of the incentives and benefits that the Corps offers to professionals considering joining our team? Are there specific programs or internships tailored for individuals with STEM backgrounds, and or are there mentorship programs?
So yeah, we do currently. So I want to say this fiscal year, we have $9 million across the Army to use for recruitment. And so that can be relocation, student loan repayment, for coming into the federal government. We can offer all of that to anyone wanting to come into the Corps of Engineers as a whole. And so we are offering our hiring managers this pot of money that they can then go and take that money and offer it to help build our team. As far as specific programs, there is one that's near and dear to me. It's Advancing Minority Interest in Engineering, the AMI program, which is directed towards historically Black colleges, American Indian and diversity universities, bringing them in on a 10-week internship. We also have the student internship program, which is through and funded with ACMA. And so ACMA is the Army Civilian Agency. And what they do is they're like managing all of the career fields. And so they've been, over the course of their transition, looking at how can we build the career field and build each career field to get proper training, get opportunities for getting your degree. They look at opportunities to help build skill sets, and they push that out to all of their Army organizations, and we can take advantage of that at entry and also afterwards. And so that's kind of interesting too. We also have the Army Fellows Program, where after you graduate from college, you can then take advantage of working with an Army organization, and then mentorship programs. That's kind of internal, but there are some higher mentorship and coaching opportunities with the Army Coaching Network. And so you can actually join that network and then get an Army coach. You can also participate in our mentorship programs internally, as well as like various leadership development programs. I think part of what keeps me employed is having this great mission of one, bringing in our folks, and also figuring out how to keep them trained and keep their skills there and keep the district diverse. So
I, you just highlighted a lot of awesome resources for recruiting at the college level. I know that we're working towards the military career skill bridge program as well. Can you highlight a little bit that, for, especially for the military folks that are transitioning out and looking for jobs? There's another opportunity potentially for that, for them to come here.
Yeah. So the DoD skill bridge program basically says that if you are retiring or separating from the military, and so any of it, so Coast Guard, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Space Force, you can come over. I guess you're authorized to go to an organization for 180 days. And so we are in the process of bringing the DoD Skill Bridge program to this district. And so we will be recruiting at the Fort Eustis or Joint Force Langley Eustis. The Navy bases, we're going to Wounded Warriors at Quantico in March. You'll have opportunities to join our organization by going to any one of those events, also by taking advantage of contacting us directly. We also use what's called TARP Yellow. It's a platform where you can go in there and upload your resume, and then all of you states and all of our organizations can look at you. But yeah, we're always looking for military. And I think, you know, sitting here in our great podcast, I mean, two of us were, you know, transitioned off of active duties with UJ and myself. So definitely, we're definitely love to have anyone with that military background.
I know Tom transitioned too. So everyone here has got some military background. So it's definitely a organization, a culture that continues to give back to the community. It's that calling.
Are there specific programs in place to nurture and enhance the skills of engineers, scientists, and lawyers, et cetera?
So we have four levels of what's called the Leadership Development Program. So the Leadership Development Program here at our District 1 and 2, LDP 1 focuses on leading self, LDP 2 focuses on leading others, LDP 3 is done at our division headquarters at Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn, New York. And then LDP 4 is done by our USACE headquarters in Northern Virginia. And so as you grow, you go into each phase. And so and we invest a lot of, I think it's important to note, we invest a lot of resources into these programs. They're not just a program that we like patched together. I mean, we truly built a program at each level, that every program 1 through 4, you're doing something different. I want to say at the 3 and 4 level, there may be some rotations, there's some fellowship opportunities and some shadowing opportunities to do. We have a local shadowing program here where you can shadow our executive staff. There's also opportunities, I want to say we're bringing cadets here this summer. And so we're always focusing on career development. We're always focusing on how can we be better. And also that ACMA organization, that's their primary focus is career development, is that each field has to continue to grow. That's how we're going to be the best force. And so they're always pushing career development opportunities. And so we just have to have folks that want to continue to nurture and enhance their skills.
I'd like to talk on the technical side of that as well. So we do have a pretty robust technical continuing education program where we try to offer at least one, if not multiple, training opportunities for individuals over the course of the year. As we all know, USACE has the USACE Learning Center that has very USACE-specific training classes. You know, could be anything from dam and levee safety to concrete fundamentals. We also have opportunities with non-USACE training through private entities that might be in any realm of interest for employees. We also encourage employees to pursue credentials that are relevant to their position too. So as you know, many of us have our professional engineering license. We have many registered architects, financial management certified folks across the gamut of all the responsibilities that we have. So there's lots of opportunities for individuals to continue growing, learning, and refining their skills to set them up for upward mobility. I'd like to go back real quick to the initial incentives too. A lot of folks don't realize most of our professional series positions are two-step career ladders. So what that means is where you may come in as a GS 5, 7, or 9 in a professional series, which is most of our engineering, architecture, many of our resource and finance management, project management positions, it's a two-step ladder. So you will come in as, say, for example, a GS 7, but instead of going to an 8 non-competitively, the next year you go to a 9, and then you go to an 11. Up to a 12. So it quickly, while you may come in a little bit less than what the private sector is, you quickly advance that salary in your realm of responsibility as you progress over the career ladder.
I think the other things that we do kind of unique to the district is that we're doing the supervisor workshop here in the next month. That's kind of bringing in all of our supervisors to continue to develop them because we know how important it is to continue to grow our supervisors in the organization. I think the other part of that too is our executive mentorship program that we just started. Our strategist, Jamika Harkett, is kind of spearheading that for the organization. Okay. Where if you want to see what the executive level is doing, we're showing our calendars to everybody. And if you want to attend events and kind of see behind the curtain of what we're doing at our level to help support the organization, like please shoot an email or a note to Jamika, and we'll get you on the list, and you can kind of see what's out there, and you can attend and listen into all these higher level events, just to get a feel for all the things that you're doing at your level is impacting and helping supporting the decisions that we're making at our level. Kind of looking at some of the opportunities that we have for folks that are in college right now, what opportunities do we have to help kind of expose them to the Corps of Engineers prior to that might help support their decision making?
Sure, yeah. So we collaborate with local universities, especially in the Commonwealth, and other districts do with their local universities. Specifically, we work with UVA, just completed their winter externship, had 3 individuals, architects here for a week working with our organization. We collaborate with Tech and a lot of the other universities in the area. So there's opportunities for them to get exposure. I would say get involved in your local SAMI. Organizations, and that's a great way to meet and understand our mission and develop opportunities not only with us but other organizations as well. And that goes for outside of universities as well. So even just by virtue of our mission, there's lots of opportunities where we collaborate with local and state agencies, other federal agencies, in that creates a lot of collaboration, exchange of information, and obviously opens up avenues for opportunities in career path development.
So speaking recently to some personnel who have worked for the Corps for 30 plus years, in some cases even 45 years, such as Richard Klein, we've had him on a recent episode, it has been stressed that not every person that walks through the USACE Norfolk District doors actually is still working on the same types of projects and tasks several years down the road. Some people stay in environmental restoration, some on military construction, as you've mentioned, some end up in regulatory and planning, and they're doing project management. So considering all of this, what career broadening opportunities are available for engineers within the Corps, and how does that contribute to their professional development?
There's a lot of different opportunities. We have developmental opportunities within Norfolk District specifically that we kind of highlight. In the course of individuals developing their own career path and aspirations, they'll work with their supervisor to develop what we call an individual developmental plan. And then when we try to marry those up with opportunities in the education, that will set them up for success. So specifically within Norfolk District, we'll create opportunities for where maybe engineers go work in project management, or project management works in construction, or a budget analyst can go work in resource management to let them experience something outside of their realm of responsibility, but also set them up for possibilities in the future. And that not only happens within Norfolk District, but also USACE-wide. So there's a lot of 120-day opportunities that we call them to go work sometimes in person at a local, another geographic district, or even potentially remotely as well. So,
question that pertains particularly to the engineer field, and forgive my ignorance here. You know how some professions, if you do not establish your specialty early on, and if you find yourself bouncing around, that's a negative. It negatively impacts you in your career. Is that the case for an engineer? Can you work in different, can you move back and forth between different sections and that's actually advantageous for you?
Yeah, so it's easier earlier on in your career. Generally, if you pick a specific discipline, say structural, you're gonna work in structural, but you can get exposure to design, to construction management, horizontal construction, vertical construction. So it's a little easier to transition and get that experience early on versus when you become a journeyman. So we're looking for specialized folks later on in their career, but getting that broadening experience early sets you up for long-term career development in terms of going into management positions and leadership positions further down the road, but absolutely.
Yeah, and Shariq, I don't know if you want to highlight a little bit. I know the deputies of the district have been working towards developing some of these developmental positions, and how do we kind of provide more exposure and broadening for our folks in the organization? If you want to just kind of highlight some of the things we're working on.
Yeah, so we offer the opportunity that you can rotate to different sections. You can have the opportunity to see what the other specialties are working on by being exposed to different projects. We even offer the opportunity to go and shadow folks in leadership positions and management, which also kind of gives some mentorship and some exposure to how a complete project kind of comes together. Because if you kind of stay in one area, you really kind of see it through to kind of a certain point, but then you don't know what happens after around that. So it's also like, for me, I think of it as like a full process exposure. And so we're allowing them to develop by looking at how things may go from start to finish, how things may go in the other realms, such as like regulatory, which may be kind of different in a sense than the traditional engineer. But also we had someone that recently went from working as a construction control rep and they can go somewhere that's less technical. Or even going, we had someone else that went and served as a district strategist. And that was an opportunity that was completely different than what they do on a day-to-day. But it was so important because the exposure there and working as a district strategist, they got to collaborate on so many different things and offsites and visits and mingling with generals and and city council folks and so if anything from what we get from that question, I would say to always try to develop and those that have went on developmental opportunities encourage you to continue to do that. And I it's important to note that our senior folks here, when we look at them, our executive staff specifically and some of our deputies, they have all taken advantage of a leadership program. They have all had a mentor and or are mentors, and they all have done developmental assignments for the most part. And so if you're looking to continue and broaden yourself, you're going to have to kind of stretch out and do those different things.
Can you walk us through the recruitment process a little bit? So if people that are trying to apply here, they understand what they need to do to become part of the Norfolk District?
Yeah, so there are multiple ways to get into the federal government. And so the first way, of course, is go on to USA Jobs, and then you can apply for a position via the site. From there, it'll get reviewed, interview process. Just kind of keep in mind that there's a longer time frame for that. We also have what's called direct hiring authority, where you can apply with your resume in most cases to a position, and then we can use direct hire authority to just bring you on. And so we just encourage you to, one, send an email straight to us. It's on our site. Apply for the position, and then just always be looking for opportunities that way, because there's multiple ways to hire, and just pay attention to how we can bring you in.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great point. And I think from a lot of our recent recruits too, the feedback that we're getting is that we think that Norfolk is a great place to work, and they agree. You know, they come on board and they think we have a great organization, great culture here. So look forward to hearing from some new interest, and we'll talk about opportunities.
And again, we've touched on this in most of the episodes that we've done so far, but so many of the people who work here are working here 10, 20, 30, and even 40 plus years. So I think that says something about the work environment here as far as how healthy it is to work here and also how fulfilling it is to work here as well.
I think it's important to note that we are a Department of the Army civilian enterprise. And so we are trying to be on the forefront of advancement. And so I think what a lot of folks like about coming here is that, yes, they have a fulfillment with mission, but we're also accepting of hybrid. You know, I think we're very open to that. We've got a few remote opportunities, but obviously engineers are going to work with, you know, have to come in from time to time. But we definitely aren't trying to just do things the same. We are trying to advance, and we're okay with moving forward and being on the forefront of that and saying this is how it works well, and we're going to continue to grow as an organization. And so that's some of the things that I try to talk to the folks coming into our organization about is that we're not, you know, the standard organization. We are different, and you know, we're small but mighty.
All right. Thank you guys both for being here. Thank you for everything that you guys do to try to bring some of the sharpest minds in various fields to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Norfolk District to help facilitate our ability to support the Commonwealth of Virginia and Hampton Roads. For our audience, yes, that's you guys in your cars, you guys at home, you guys on your lunch breaks. Thanks for joining us for yet another episode of Corps Talk. Please remember to like, share, subscribe, and follow. Feel free to comment and message us about topics that you would like to hear in upcoming episodes. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, James.